The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Before I get into today's message, I want to give you a commercial. You know, they do this on the news broadcast all the time. You know, we'll be back, but first of all, we want to remind you why we'll be back. The commercial is this. About 10 years ago, I preached a series called The Black Robe Regiment. And it talked about the foundation of our country, the interconnection between our faith and our country. And there were a lot of things that we studied together and learned together over about an 8 or 10 week period. So what I'd like to do is resurrect that series, bring it up to date, and talk about some things that we need to know about. Questions that have come to my own mind watching the predicament of this coronavirus and the shutting down of the economies of the world. Is this the end time? Is it a precursor to the end time? What should we do? What should we be doing? I've been vexed in my very soul to see that pastors have been arrested and charged with crimes for preaching in their churches. And not some faraway country, in Shreveport, Louisiana, that took place. And the mayor of the town that allowed that to happen also allowed abortion clinics, which are legally supposed to be shut down, to exist. The governor of Kentucky said yesterday that if the churches gathered together, that he would enforce a 14-day shutdown of the state. I'm not making this up. This is reality today. The mayor of Greenville, Mississippi, was holding a Good Friday service, and he obeyed all the rules. He put in some special equipment that his church could be in the parking lot in their cars, tune their FM radio to a certain station, and when they did that, they'd hear him preaching inside the church. So nobody was together. The mayor of Greenville sent out to police, gave citations to everyone in their automobiles for a $500 fine, and threatened to do more if the pastor continued to do this. Our founding fathers set a pattern for us to deal with government when it gets intrusive, how to deal with government in the right way. A guy by Jonathan Mayhew preached a sermon in 1750 dealing with unlimited submission, and dealt with chapter 13 of the book of Romans, where it talks about us as believers submitting to government. So all of that is going to be covered in probably a 5 to 7, 8 week period, depending on how far I go with it. And that'll start next week. So we're bringing the Black Robe Regiment back into our church.
We need it.
And I hope some other pastors join with me. You might call your pastor, if I'm not your pastor, and just call them and ask them if they're going to address these issues that need to be addressed in our nation today. A lot of our rights that were given to us by God, enshrined in our Declaration of Independence and in the Constitution of the United States, are being infringed upon right now. There was something that I read a couple of weeks ago, and one of the ladies in the church had received it from a daughter, and I will read it again. When it talks about our rights being infringed upon, and it used a little phrase, and it said, "See how easy that was? Do you realize that every church in our nation is shut down? Synagogues is shut down? mosque is shut down. Everything is shut down. If somebody would have written a book and put that in the book, I'd have called it the craziest science fiction book ever written. And we're living in it today. The economy of the strongest nation in the world is shut down. We have people by the tens of millions unemployed today because of this coronavirus. So something is happening, and I hope to address that in the weeks to come. So that's a prelude to things to come. But today, let me change my hat. Today, I want to talk about the resurrection. I want to continue our series about the interaction between Rome and the carpenter, Jesus the carpenter. We had two sermons that we spoke about, and for the series we used as a scriptural text from John chapter 19. Pat, you might want to swing the camera around. Pat is my new media girl, and so I have to help her along the way sometimes because she's so interested in what I have to say, she forgot that she has a job to do. So John chapter 19, verses 10 and 11. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize that I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Pretty strong words from a guy with a lot of power from Rome. Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." So there's a great clash of Rome and the kingdom of God. And we see it in this conversation that they had. There's a cataclysmic event was about to take place. And within 3 days, and that cataclysmic event we spoke about of the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. In this series, we see Jesus face to face with Rome. So, okay, and we have a video about the resurrection. It's entitled "The Hope of Easter Remains." There we go.
Living with uncertainty can take its toll. The normal day-to-day is replaced with fear, worry, doubt. When our normal is disrupted, our surroundings begin to feel weak. Foundations begin to rattle. Our lives become disoriented. As time goes on, we begin to lose sight of the one constant on our journey, Jesus. The fear is consuming, the worry draining, the doubt painful. Even in our darkest moments, when the last thread of hope is unraveled from our being, we must dwell on truth. We must remember, no matter what is happening around us, God is still sovereign. Today, let us dwell on the truth of Easter. The stone has been rolled away. The grave has been rendered powerless. Death has transformed to life. In our fear, He is still risen. In our worry, He is still victorious. In our doubt, He is still alive.
Amen.
When everything seems hopeless, the hope of Easter remains.
Amen. Amen. The hope of Easter still remains. The hope of Easter still remains. We talked about the Romans who were at the cross. We talked about the Romans who were at the trial. And today I want to talk about the Romans who were at the resurrection. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes this great chapter about what the resurrection is. He gives us the details and great understanding of it. And I want to use this as a kind of an introduction to the sermon. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 15 through 17. "We have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. So Paul's saying that not only is Jesus raised, but the dead are raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Wow, what a passage of scripture to give us some insight. I was listening to Dr. Robert Jeffries on TV yesterday. He was talking about the faith that we have in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And that it's important that we realize that He is the only way. He is the only one who ever died for our sins and was raised to newness of life and continues to live. And Paul said that he was seen by the 12, by the 70, by over 500 Jews, and by himself. So there's a lot of witnesses to the fact that Jesus was raised. And we need to remember that is the pinnacle of our Christian faith. There are not multiple ways to heaven. There's only one way. And Dr. Jeffries did a good job of that. And you can pick it up on TBN. I'm sure it'll be rebroadcast again. So last week, we looked at the Roman centurion. And he was at the cross. And when Jesus died, he had this epiphany. And he said, this was the Son of God. This was the Son of God. And we mused about how it would feel to have just murdered the Son of God. And we talked about that at some length. And we spoke about the fact that we've all been responsible for the death of Jesus. And we usually look at it as because our sins put him there, and that's true. But there's a greater picture, and it's that God put him there, for God so loved us. And that Jesus willingly went, because the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. So it's a great love story about what took place. But now the resurrection has taken place. And I want us to look at what the Romans discovered. The Romans discovered that Jesus is the tomb breaker. Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 to 66. And it says, excuse me. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will raise again. So give the order that the tomb be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate said. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. I want to show you an excerpt from it's a movie called Risen. And it's brief, it's about 2.5 minutes long. But it'll give you a visual of what took place when the Romans saw that the tomb was empty. Jim, show that video number one, okay?
Bring the Arimathea in.
You! Get the Arimathea!
As if they burst.
Tribune! See this?
Oh. Oh.
Where has he gone?
You tell me.
The body, was it anointed?
We have no time. We just wrapped him with myrrh and aloe.
That's what you see. Sweat and herbs, bring it.
I want nothing touched here. Post a watch and everything leaving Jerusalem searched. Arrest anyone claiming the Nazarene lives and find out where they heard it.
That's tricky.
Is it a ransom?
Do not seek me. Do not follow or wander. Persecute no one on my behalf. I have seen two things which cannot reconcile. A man dead without question, and that same man alive again. I pursue him, the Nazarene, to ferret the truth. Clavius Aquila Valerius Niger. It's his seal, sir. Must be a plague.
My right hand turned against me. How could he follow that Hebrew?
Perhaps it's true.
Roman commander in this video had seen the empty tomb and then sort of disappeared, and he left that note that depiction of Pilate saw, and he couldn't believe it. And the note said that he couldn't reconcile that he had seen two diametrically opposed things. He saw Jesus die, and he saw him alive. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, just put yourself back 2,000 years ago and see somebody die. See them before your eyes, breathe their last, see them in a Roman crucifixion, see them brought to a tomb, put in a tomb, sealed, watched over by the Roman guards, and see him walking around and talking. Well, I'll tell you what, that'll make you think you've been eating some mushrooms or smoking some bad stuff or sniffing something really bad. I mean, it just doesn't happen. We've never seen that. We hear about it, but we've never seen it. These people who saw Jesus alive knew for a fact what you and I see by faith. And Jesus even told Thomas when he appeared to Thomas, and Thomas put his hands in Jesus' wounds. He said, "Blessed are you, Thomas, for you have seen. But blessed are those who will never see and yet believe." That's you and me. That's us. We see by faith what they saw by sight. And they believed what they saw because they knew what they saw, and they died a martyr's death and did not repudiate or deny what they had seen. This story of the resurrection of Jesus changed everything. You think the coronavirus changed things? That's nothing compared to what Jesus did. He changed the whole world. And the whole world knows about Jesus. They either know about him and believe him, or they know about him and deny him. There's no middle ground. One thing you can't do is ignore Jesus. He will not be ignored. God will not be ignored. The Holy Spirit will not be ignored. He will make himself known so that men and women can decide whether or not they want to believe by faith who Jesus really is. When Rome put a guard over something, honey, you can believe, forgive my southern language there, honey, that's for men and women. If a guard was placed by Rome, anyone who attempted to interfere with what Rome was guarding would not live to tell the story. They just wouldn't. I told you last week, these people were brutal. Hollywood made the Romans into really nice guys. They were brutal people because they wanted to control everything. They wanted to have peace, and they were going to have peace no matter who they had to kill to get it, the peace that they wanted. That's why they killed Jesus. The Roman governor wanted peace, and he couldn't get peace, so he killed him. But what he didn't know is he created a firestorm. It is a firestorm of the Holy Spirit that showed up on the day of Pentecost that is washed and burned around the whole world with a message that Jesus is alive, he is the Son of God, he is the Savior of the world. And people believe today and will not deny what they believe even unto the death. There are more people dying today for the Christian faith than have ever died before around the world. Military law dictated that the soldiers who failed in their duty would suffer severe punishment, probably to their life. To their life. These soldiers had a job to do, and as we saw depicted in that video, they didn't do a very good job. I heard David Jeremiah, made a statement that when they were going to the tomb and they found that the stone was removed, he said, Jesus didn't do that. The angel didn't remove the stone so that Jesus could get out. They removed the stone so that we can get in to see that he wasn't there.
Oh, wow.
What a thought. Isn't that a great thought? It was removed so that we could see that Jesus wasn't there. Oh, Jesus could come up anytime he wanted, be any place he wanted after the resurrection. He appeared suddenly in rooms where nobody expected him to be. Friends, this was no ceremonial guard. This wasn't the Arlington Cemetery and the soldiers marching in, as they do day and night, 365 days a year, in ceremonial protection of that tomb. These were real soldiers who knew how to fight. And something happened. Again, Rome thought they were in control, but we discovered right here at the empty tomb that they were not in control. They were not in control. The resurrection had to happen. Why? Because it was prophesied in the Old Testament that it would happen. We said that we would have a king. Said a child is born unto you, and he'll be an eternal king, the Prince of Peace. That eternal king is Jesus Christ, who lives eternally. The Romans couldn't kill him. The Jews couldn't kill him. No one could kill him. He gave his life freely, and when he rose from that grave, he rose never to die again. I hope you're shouting amen wherever you are. Jumping up and down on your sofa at the table, wherever you may be. This is the best news ever given to the world. We're looking for the pandemic to be over and for the president to say we can all go back to our normal lives. That's not good news. That is good news in some respect, but that's nothing compared to the fact when they got to the tomb and they said, "Where is he?" And the angel said, I love it. He said, "He's not here. He's not here." And he's still not there. Jesus said it would happen. You know, we just read where Pilate quoted him. I mean, the Jews quoted him to Pilate. He said, "Destroy this temple and I'll raise it back up." They thought he was talking about the physical building. He was talking about himself. He told that to his disciples because that's what they thought. They said, "Do you realize how many years it took to build this place? And you can knock it down, you can rebuild it in 3 days." They didn't even understand. But he rose triumphant from the grave, victorious. Oh, victory in Jesus, as we sang this morning. My Savior forever. Up from the grave he rose. Whoa, can't even say it. With a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. And he reigns in heaven. With his saints, he waits for us to reign with him. Woo! Amen. The Romans and Jews believed that there was something to this resurrection. You know why I know they believed something was to it? Because they were scared to death that it was going to happen. The Jews were afraid it would happen. Rome, above everyone, Pilate didn't want it to happen. But it did. They were right. It happened. And Jesus is the tomb breaker. And he broke out. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Come on now. The next thing is, the Romans discovered that Jesus is the truth teller. You can tell I've been to seminary. Matthew chapter 28, verses 9 through 15. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. That's the thing I heard about. They said to a little girl, they said, what is the first thing that Jesus said when he came out of the tomb? And she went, ta-da! I love it. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. While the women were on their way, some of the guard went into the city. Now listen to this. After what I just told you about the Romans, listen to this. And they reported to the chief priests everything that happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers, these Roman soldiers, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while you were asleep. Roman soldiers asleep? I haven't been in the military, but I was in the ROTC for 2 years when I went to LSU many years ago, and I had to take a bunch of classes. And one of the things I learned, that if you're on duty and you're on watch, do not fall asleep. These guys weren't to fall asleep either. If this report gets to the governor, so if Pilate finds out, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. Fat chance. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. I mean, maybe it's just my warped sense of humor, but I think it's funny that what they did, that they thought they could get away with this. In that movie Risen, there's a great scene where one of the soldiers who saw the resurrection, who knew what happened, he's in a ballroom drinking, and the tribune, who is the main character in the movie, finds him, and he's berating this guy. He said, tell me what you saw. And the guy's scared to death. He doesn't want to tell him. Tell me what you saw. And you got to see the movie to see the whole thing. But he said, he saw him. He saw him. So, the way, the truth, and the life broke the bonds of death and sprang back to life. The way, the truth, and the life broke the bonds of death and sprang back to life. The way, the truth, and the life broke the bonds of death and sprang back to life. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm telling you, that's good news. We've got you're going to love this clip. It's a second clip from the movie. It's almost 3 minutes long, but you're going to see what happens when this Roman tribute, this mighty commander of Roman forces, walks and is trying to find Jesus. Watch this. You're going to love this.
That's the house. That's where I lost him.
Lost him?
I believe that's where
he went.
Believe? Yes, sir. But coming to tell you, I passed all the disciples hurrying this way. They favored the upper room. You didn't pay for that.
Every house, every room. You fight the other side. I've only two lines to spare, sir. Oh, move! Come on, move! I'll drop the end and work my way back.
Man down. Return to camp.
Sir? Chicken!
Stand down. Look for me shortly.
Tribune! Sir, we are close. I can feel
it. I don't need you for this.
Oh, hallelujah. Don't you love that? Don't you love it? Oh, man, you got to see the movie. You got to see the whole thing. I think you can rent it on Netflix or some other place. This would be a good day to watch it. You don't have anything else to do. You can't go out to lunch or any place. So sit down and watch this movie. It'll stir your heart. They did such a great job. Satan, true to his lying character, started another lie. The Romans couldn't handle the truth. This was said in that great movie, A Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth. So they spread a lie. It's interesting that Judas got paid to point Jesus out to Rome, and the soldiers got paid to keep the truth about Jesus a secret. Didn't want the word to get out. Heaven forbid that a Roman soldier would say that Jesus was alive. But he was. Surely, this man was the Son of God. Surely, this man was the Son of God. A hardened Roman soldier was melted in the presence of the King of Kings. Hey, that guy, no telling how many men he saw die in his career, how many he had put to death by the sword, how many he put to death in crucifixion, or stoned, or any other horrible ways that they could kill people. And it says when he saw Jesus die, saw the way that he died. How did he die? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Nobody does that. Turns to a criminal next to him. Said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. When he saw the way he died, you know, we paint verbal pictures from the pulpits and books of the horrors of the crucifixion, which it was. And Jesus suffered in ways that we can't begin to imagine. But something was different about the death of this man, Jesus. It was so different that a Roman soldier who was there watched him die. And when he saw the way that he died, he said, this man was the Son of God. There's something different about Jesus in the way that he lived, the way that he spoke, the things that he did, the way that he died, and the way that he came back to life. And he changed everything. Jesus can no longer be seen. Let me rephrase that. Jesus can be seen by anybody who wants to see. You can see. You can see. See by faith. There are people that I know, and I happen to be one of them, who saw Jesus in a, I don't know whether I was awake or asleep in a vision, or what, but I saw him. I did. They said, Morris, you know. No, I had quit drinking at that time. I wasn't drinking. I never did drugs. But I saw him in church. I was in church. It's amazing. Rowe, is it surprising that Jesus might be seen in church? That might be a good place to see him. I did. And I, in my mind's eye, I still see him. And he said, well, what did he say? I'll tell you what he said. For what he said, the reason is I'm here today. He pointed his finger at me from the front of the church where the choir loft would have been and said, I want you. And like that Roman soldier, I couldn't get over it. I tried. I couldn't get away from it. It haunted me that Jesus would point to me and say, I want you. I finally gave up and said, okay, I'll follow you wherever you want. Do whatever you want me to do. And here I am today, fulfilling that promise that I made to him. Jesus is no longer a baby confined to a manger. He's no longer confined to mere mortal flesh. Paul said, whatever happened to Jesus' body, it's in chapter 15, I believe, of 1 Corinthians, where we started off the sermon, said, whatever happened, whatever happened to his body, the exact same thing is going to happen to you on the resurrection. You'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and you will have on your resurrected body. I need it. I need it bad. I've abused this thing that I have. My eyes don't work the way they used to. My hearing doesn't work the way it used to. My feet don't work the way they used to. And Lord knows I lost my arm somewhere along the way. I need a new resurrected body. And I'm going to have one just like Jesus. He could be wherever he wanted to be. He could appear in a room. He could laugh. He could eat. He could enjoy life. He knew his friends. They recognized him. And that's the same way it'll be. I believe that heaven is going to be everybody you know all in the same neighborhood. I just believe that. Because what fun would it be to be floating on a cloud all day, playing some kind of harp and looking like a cherub? I'd like to sit around with you guys and laugh and rejoice and say, can you believe, you remember that Easter Sunday where they shut down the churches and you preached that sermon about the Roman soldier? I saw him the other day. He lives right down the block in the New Jerusalem. You want to go see him, Morris? Let's go see him. Wouldn't that be a trip? So I believe that's what heaven's going to be. I'm looking forward to meeting some people. I want to see Paul and Peter and all those guys, but I want to see that Roman soldier. I want to see Lazarus who got called out of the grave. I want to see the common folks, because that's who Jesus came to save, the common folks. He was accused of being a wine bibber because he hung around with drunkards, people who drank. He hung around with tax collectors. Nobody wants to hang around with the IRS guys. He did. And he hung around with those people, and he loved them exactly the way they were, just like he loves you and me. He's no longer a seeker walking through Israel, saying, don't say anything. You know, just keep that to yourself. Now he can be broadcast from the rooftops because of the resurrection. A choir announced his birth. An angel of life announced the truth that he's alive. The resurrection really happened. It's not a figment. It's not somebody's imagination. It's not a story. You know, people will die for the truth. They will not die for a story that they know to be false. They just won't do it. I mean, you put enough pressure on somebody, they're going to fess up. They're going to break. But these guys didn't break, because they knew it was true. Okay, moving on. The third thing I want to talk about is the Roman soldiers discovered that Jesus is the fear taker. Matthew 28:1-7. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and was going to the tomb, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Come on, guys. Is that a picture? This angel rolled back the stone so that these women could get in and see that he wasn't there, and he sat on a stone. I love it. The picture, to me, it's a thousand words. He sat on a stone. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Remember I told you earlier? The stone was laid back so that they could see. Come and see the place where it lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. And he says, now I've told you so. Now I've told you. I have told you. If a big guy who could move the stone, and is a big stone, looks like lightning, and he's shining, and he's sitting on that stone, and if he says to you, Jesus isn't here, take a look, and he said, go see him, he'll be in Jerusalem. I told you so. It's just as he said it would be. I'm telling you that that's where he is. Many years ago, some of you are too young to remember this, a guy by the name of Tennessee Ernie Ford, who was a country singer, sang a song that was very popular. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sing with me. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Sometimes I feel like shouting, glory, glory, glory. Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Tennessee Ernie Ford. I wish I had his baritone voice to sing it for you, but you get the picture. The soldiers were trembling in fear. Wouldn't you be afraid? I don't think the angel was as nice to them as he was to the girls. I don't think he was. And they were scared to death and were trembling, or as we say today, they were shaking in their shell-mat boots. I mean, they were scared to death about what had happened. The question is, were you there when they crucified my Lord? The Romans were there. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? The Romans were there. Were you there when he rose up from the dead? The Romans were there. Sometimes it causes us to tremble. It made those Romans tremble. They trembled, and they saw, and they did. They were in fear. If you don't know Jesus, you have a reason to be afraid. Every reason to be afraid. If you don't know Jesus, if you haven't invited this way, this truth, and this life into your life and have him wash away your sins and make you new again and give you the hope of your own personal resurrection, you have a reason to be afraid, because what's waiting for you will make you tremble. It's in the Bible. Those who do not believe what their fate is. It says in the final days that the books will be open, and whoever's name is not written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire, which burns forever and ever and ever. Well, Morris, how do you get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? How do you get to be in that personal diary of Jesus? Very simple. You believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and you entrust your life and your soul and your future to him. And if you do that, Jesus says that you will be born again, not of the corruptible seed of your mother and dad, not of the corruptible seed of man, but by the word of God. And the word of God says Jesus is alive. And because he lives, you and I can live too.
Amen.
That's the promise. For the unbeliever, it's damnation in hell. For the believer, it's glory, glory, glory every day being with Jesus. Why would you turn away from that? Why would you not believe in that? Why would you not trust in him? You know, in the words of President Donald Trump, what do you got to lose? Give him a try. Say, well, I don't understand it. Well, you don't have to understand it. All you have to do is believe it. By faith, say, Lord Jesus, as best I know how, I believe that you live, that you died, and that you rose from the dead. And best I know how, I believe in you. Help my unbelief. I trust you, Jesus, for all eternity. Amen. If you pray that prayer, simple little prayer, you don't have to use those exact words, but if you mean that in your heart, it says that if you will confess or agree with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you will be resurrected. And you'll spend eternity with him. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were frightened, but they didn't know yet that Jesus was alive. They were scared. Wouldn't you be scared? Big old bruiser that just rolled up back the stone. Looks like lightning sitting on the stone. And he says to you, Jesus is in the air. Wouldn't you be afraid? They were. But when they heard that he was alive, they ran to find the disciples and tell them. There's another story, and I'm not going to get into it, but just to mention it. John and Peter, when they heard about it, they hot-footed it back there to see it. What was going on? And John outran Peter. He got to the tomb and ran in. And you know what they found? An empty tomb. It was empty then. It's still empty today. When they went back to the upper room, and I know people. I've been around people all my life, you know, interacting, and especially in my life as a pastor and as a minister. I know people, and I know what they were doing. The noise level had to be 4 octaves up. And they would say, Mary, tell us again what you saw. Who was that guy that looked like? Well, I don't know. He just looked like that. But who was he? Does he live in the neighborhood? I don't know who he is. I'm telling you. He just told me Jesus wasn't there. And to come back here and tell you guys. Peter, tell us again what you saw when you got there. And you found the thing that was on Jesus' face just folded up and laying there. That's a conversation. Everybody's buzzing. There's a buzz in the room. And Jesus shows up. In the middle of them. You talk about what they call a pregnant pause. Oxygen sucked out the room. Everybody freezes in place. And Jesus says, "Ha. Good to see you. I'm here. I'm back." The thrill of joy that flowed through that room that day has spilled out through the ages and into this room where we are right now and where you are, your homes or wherever you are right now. It's spilling out to you. It's the joy of knowing that Jesus is alive. Fear, disappointment, trembling all disappeared and was replaced by joy unspeakable and filled with glory. That's what happened. Oh, happy days. Oh, happy days. Oh, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. I'll look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. What a day, wonderful day that'll be. I hope I get to see that angel. I bet he's still laughing. I bet he's still filled with joy. The tomb breaker, the truth teller, the fear chaser appeared. And wherever he is, there's life and there's hope. No pandemic, no disease, no crazy politicians shutting down churches, no giving $500 citations to people in their car for going to church, no worry about whether I have to be tested or have a get a swab or see if I have it or wear an N95 mask or being fearful that you'll cough on me and give me some disease that'll kill me. None of that. None of that. The truth is that in Christ we have nothing to fear. Amen. I'm not afraid. The reason, and I've said this in an email that I sent out to everyone, the reason that our church is so sparse and only ask people to come who would do something is because I don't want some of the people in our church to come here and catch something and die or get sick from themselves. I just don't want, and I don't want to be responsible for that. So it's my choice, not because they tell me, 2 weeks ago we met. I don't care. I told Pat yesterday, the way things are going, get my orange jumpsuit ready. I would have said my striped suit, but they don't use stripes anymore. Just an orange jumpsuit. Because I am not going to take what has been entrusted to me, my portion of the church of the living God, and turn it over and make it easy for anybody. They might do it, but they're going to have to fight me tooth and nail to get it done. So, as I say, every week is a new week for me and what we're going to do in this church. For this Sunday, I elected to do this. Next Sunday, might be a different story. I might try to get everybody here. And based on the way this technical stuff works, I might need to get them here. I'll just be preaching to myself. So, have you ever been to Calvary? You can go there. I know that you guys went to the Holy Land, Becky and Roe. When you went to Golgotha, was he there? No. He wasn't there. No. Did you go to the tomb?
We did.
Was he there?
He was gone.
He's gone? He's not there? Is he? You know how many people have gone there and they found out that he wasn't there? He's just not there. You can go look at the Holy Land. You know where the real Holy Land is? Right here. Where we are. Where the body of Christ gathers together. We are the body of Christ.
Amen.
We are stones, precious living stones, fit together, building this thing called the living temple of God, the body of Christ. We're his hands, his feet, his eyes, his voice, his heart, his love, his emotions. That's who we are.
Amen.
He can only be in one place at one time. We can be everywhere because of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Have you ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's where he is. When he makes you alive and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, dwells within you and you're born again of the Spirit of God, that's where he is. You can go to the Holy Land. I'd like to go. I've never made it. I'm 80 years old. Probabilities are I'm not going. But I'm in the Holy Land right now. And I'm looking for that new Jerusalem, not built with the hands of man, but built by the power of God, that city four square that's set aside for all of us who believe, that has a river of life flowing down the center of it and a tree of life producing fruit all through the seasons on either side of it. And it's there that we'll see the throne of God that needs no light. For the Lamb of God is the light of the throne room and the light of the city. That's where I'm going. I want to be there. And you'll be there too. We'll be on streets of gold, walls made of precious stones, gates that never close, because the city of God is never closed to us for all eternity. I don't know what it's all going to be like, but I'm looking forward to it. So, because he lives, I love that old song, I'm not going to sing it. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I can face the pandemic. I can face waking up this morning very disappointed. I was disappointed and angry and mad. And If I'd have had another choice, I just wouldn't have come this morning. Because it makes me mad that the church, man, breaks my heart that the ones that we love are not here. And I've invited you to be here because you're helping me do what needs to be done to get it out to them on the airwaves. But we'll face tomorrow. And I'm not looking forward. I'm not planning on catching anything tomorrow. I'm planning on being back here next week. Maybe everybody will be here. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll wait and see. But I'll tell you this. Jesus was alive 2,000 years ago. He was alive 500 years ago. He was alive yesterday. He's alive today. And if he tarries, he's going to be alive tomorrow. And because he lives, we live too. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the hope that burns within each of us. The hope of the resurrection. And we look forward to that day. But in the meantime, right here, where we are and where we live, we're going to keep telling as many people as we can about Jesus. Because that's our job. It's our privilege to do so. So that they can have the hope that we have. The hope of seeing Jesus face to face one day. Now we see in part. We prophesy in part. But then, face to face, we will know even as we are known. Thank you, Father. Thank you for letting us celebrate this day. Watch over all the sheep throughout the nation, throughout the world. Bless them on this Easter Sunday. Give them great joy. Build them up on their most holy faith and give them hope. I pray for our leaders, our state and local and national leaders, that you'll give them wisdom. Let this pandemic leave our nation. Let this scourge be gone. We speak against it in the name of Jesus. We curse its power in the name of Jesus. And we speak the name of Jesus that's stronger than any coronavirus or COVID-19 or any other such thing. The name of Jesus is more powerful. And Father, we ask you by faith in your power, and we ask in Jesus' name that today, this Easter Sunday, would be the turning point, that the news would be broadcasting that suddenly people quit dying. Suddenly, no one's catching the virus anymore, and that this was the day that you turned the tide. Father, let it be so. This is our prayer in Jesus' wonderful name. And all the children said, amen. You are dismissed in the name of the Lord. Thank you for watching us. Be blessed. Hopefully we'll see you next week in the building. Bye-bye.